Mike, how are you?
Good morning, Tony. I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I know when I have questions in law, you're the, well, as a matter of fact, when we were talking yesterday, you just started smiling because you love this stuff. The couple questions came up during the show yesterday, so let's dive right into it. When it comes to medical marijuana, there are a lot of challenges for a lot of communities. Folks are really watching the city of Lansing as they try to find ordinances that will make the citizens happy, but will also adhere to the law. And what I find that seem to be the biggest challenges from the folks that we talk to, whether it's from Williamston Township or Leslie Township or the city of Lansing, is the private citizens have issue with these businesses being near schools, being near their businesses, being near their homes. How do people learn how to deal with this? Because it is the law. These businesses are allowed to exist.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's a situation where it seems like a lot of local municipalities are trying to balance the implementation of the law and also sort of the political problem, which is that old not in my backyard syndrome. With any new thing, a lot of fear and a lot of distrust, and I think that's a lot of the dynamic, at least, that you're seeing. But, you know, as you said, the medical marijuana law was enacted by the legislature on the initiative, and this is what's important, of a vast majority of Michigan residents in 2008. And so the time is now, and it's just something that needs to happen.
And I guess that cities and townships and municipalities have had such great challenges because the law was so vague.
Well, I don't know that it was vague, Tony. I think the word that I might use is perhaps there was not a lot of overwhelming detail in the law because it simply didn't contemplate everything, much like the first version of our Constitution back in 1781. We didn't contemplate everything, and there will be changes, amendments, additions, deletions, as we go. I think both that, you know, we'll probably see in years down the road from the legislature and probably in the shorter time span, which is of even greater concern, we'll see some judge-made changes as cases. And what I mean by that is cases go through the court system, judges will issue rulings that will have the effect of changing the law to a degree or at least giving guidance on the law where there is no specifics or detail.
Mike, was the lack of detail in this law a purposeful act? Was it done so that cities would be allowed to tailor make it to their communities, or was it due to a lack of ignorance?
You'd have to ask the members of the legislature who enacted it and those who drafted it. I suspect there's probably a little bit of both. And ignorance may not be the right word, maybe just a lack of ability to foresee all of the things that would come to pass.
It's a very challenging topic to talk about. For example, a community near where I live, there's a medicinal marijuana facility. It's right across the street from a soccer park that my kids play at. And I understand that people have the legal right to conduct the business where they choose within the laws of the cities that they're going to be in. But I had a challenge with that, knowing that people were coming out of that facility and probably had a nice glow on because of their medical marijuana. And I just don't understand how the rights of those kids and the parents are superseded by the people who were doing business at that place.
I get just as much of a concern when I drive out of Rite Aid and I wonder who just took the first pill of their prescription medication and who might be pulling out in front of me on that medication. Because that's what, when we're talking about Medical Marijuana Act, that's exactly what it is. It's medicine. It's not, you know, what people think of, this reefer madness stuff. The law was enacted with the intention of treating people who need it to remedy pain and certain ailments. So I understand what you're saying, but I think we're hyper focused on marijuana because it's this, you know, mysterious drug from the, you know, 60s and 70s in the peace culture, but it is a controlled substance. Much like alcohol, I'm not saying it's completely like, you know, every other controlled substance, but, you know, we have many, 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 many controlled substances in our society that we're relying on, from Vicodin to, you know, you name it, things that we used to treat ADD, things that we used to treat pain, things that we used to treat toothaches. It's prevalent. Medical marijuana is just the latest and perhaps one of the more controversial developments in our drug culture.
We're talking with Mike Nichols from the Nichols Law Firm in East Lansing. Mike, when talking about these medicinal marijuana facilities, I also wonder about the rights of a community to decide where these facilities can go. For example, there is a drug and rehab and homeless shelter in downtown Lansing, which is next door to a medical marijuana facility. The homeless shelter has been there for years and years and years. The other business is brand new. Does the city have the right to say, you know what, I don't want you around schools, I don't want you around businesses where people have challenges with drugs and alcohol?
I think you'll find that the support in the law, and I bet if you brought Bridge Smith, the Lansing city attorney, on the air, he could talk in greater detail about it, but I think you'll find that there's support in our legal jurisprudence for restrictions on the location of certain types of business, so long as the restrictions that, say, the city of Lansing or any other municipality, as long as those restrictions have a relationship to the reason for the restriction. I think your example was the school. I think a lot of the examples that we're hearing about or situations that we're hearing about relate to schools and the placement of a clinic.
Let's switch gears and talk about another interesting story because it pits the media versus a church in a court case. City Pulse magazine was asked by a court to release some information because the church, Mount Hope Church, is seeking this information because they want to file suit against a group called Bashback, which picketed outside the Mount Hope Church during a church service and went as far as sending people into the church to picket and disrupt their service. A media member from City Pulse magazine wrote along with these people and witnessed this and wrote about it, didn't contribute to it, but what are the rights of the church when it comes to attaining information like this?
Well, that's a very good question, and I did read some of the articles in the City Pulse after you and I caught up a little bit yesterday. And you know, Tony, my first career was as a journalist. That's where you and I met too many years ago. I'm a big believer in the First Amendment and the right of the press to be unfettered and protect sources. I think if I were counseling the church, it would be a matter of, and this isn't legal advice if anybody from Mount Hope Church is listening, you got to have a cause of action in order to compel or require a party to turn over information, a subpoena, which is a court order that says, hey, you have to do this, give this information over, appear at a particular date and time, and produce this stuff.
The church, Mike, is claiming that the group used intimidation and threatening manners in their efforts to disrupt this church service.
Right.
Is that enough?
To sue?
Yes.
Because that's I mean, really, you have to have a pending court action in order to issue a subpoena, which is a court order that forces, in this case, the city to turn over information. Without it, I really don't know how else the church gets it, because the City Pulse is not only a private entity, but it's also a newspaper with reporters who are going to claim the journalist's privilege. So I really don't see how the church could get that information without filing a lawsuit first.
Mike, this case got me to thinking about the Westboro Baptist Church, which recently picketed, well, if you want to call three people picketing, in East Lansing. But they picket funerals because they want to bring notice to their church. And what are the rights? I know people can picket outside a business, on public streets and whatnot. Is it legal, at least in the state of Michigan, from what you know, for people to go to a funeral near where someone is being buried, or storm a church during a church service on private property to picket?
Well, that's exactly what the Supreme Court of the United States has been wrestling with, and did so in a couple of cases, one where they issued an opinion, and it was a pretty recent opinion, and said, you know, we cannot preclude protesters from demonstrating absent some sort of physical assault, threat, property damage. People have the right to express their opinion either individually or as a group. There are time, place, and manner restrictions, and as long as they, you know, in that particular case that we talked about with funerals, you know, if you keep your distance and you don't disrupt the proceeding, that's been upheld. It's a lot like the situation with an abortion clinic. How far can somebody who stridently believes in the anti-choice or pro-life view, how far can they go in trying to stop a woman from entering a clinic? And we've been wrestling with this now for many, many years. And, you know, there may come a time pretty soon, Tony, when the Supreme Court of the United States is going to say, you know, you can't go to a funeral and be within so many feet. But as of now, they haven't done that.
Mike Nichols is with the law firm Nichols in East Lansing, Nichols Lawyers, who does quite a bit of work around the state of Michigan. Mike, thanks so much for your time.
Tony, it was really great to speak with you. And I recall when you and I covered about 15 years ago the Ku Klux Klan in Howell. And you just made me think about that moment, and that's where we saw that as reporters, the protesters and the anti-protesters, right?
You know what's interesting about that, Mike, is I was on both sides, one standing next to the protesters, and then another one at the state capitol to where I was on the
right.
Other side of the fence. And, you know, the law and the law, and hatred's out there on both sides of the fence.
Yep, and you did a great job.